Those of you that paid attention in history class, although from what I understand they're beginning to diminish this part of our history, know that our country was founded by people that were seeking the freedom to worship as they saw fit. And we started as a colony of England, and we're a colony for a hundred and some years. But then we declared our independence from England in that document known as the Declaration of Independence, which starts with the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Every single person is born with a desire to be free. That's why a little baby wants his own way. He wants to be free. He doesn't want somebody telling him he has to eat his peas. He wants to make his own decisions. He wants to be free. That's why a little two-year-old has a self-will and spends a lot of time in the corner with timeouts, because he wants to be free. He doesn't want somebody telling him what to do. That's why a teenager doesn't want mom and dad telling them what to do. They want to have their freedom. They don't want somebody giving them orders. I remember talking to a 16-year-old boy. It's been several years ago. He had a dad and mom that loved him, and they drew boundaries for him to stay in, and they did their best to make sure that he stayed in those boundaries. And I was talking to him one day. He was so frustrated. He said, "My mom and dad are just stifling me. I just can't wait till I get 18 years old. I'm going to get my freedom." I said, "What are you going to do when you get 18 years old?" He says, "I'm going to join the army so that nobody will tell me what to do." And he came home about 16 weeks later after spending all that time with his drill sergeant with a new appreciation for mom and dad. But in John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to a group of Jews, a group of Jews the Bible said that believed on him. And he said this, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I'm going to preach on the subject today, "The truth shall make you free." When Jesus said these words to these disciples, they responded like many of us would. They said, "Hey, Lord, we've never been in bondage. We've never been captive. We've never been slaves. We've never been in a condition where we've needed to be set free." And Jesus came back to them as he comes to us this morning, and he says, "Oh, yes, you have," or "Yes, you are." He said, "Verily, verily," and whenever the Bible uses those words, "verily, verily," especially when Jesus Christ is speaking, it should be an attention getter. I mean, it should say, "Hey, listen," this is what the Bible's saying when it uses the words, "verily, verily." I'm about to say something very important. I'm about to say something that you need to hear. I'm about to say something that you need to listen to. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now, Brother Leonard touched on it in Sunday school this morning a little bit, but I want to remind you, and I love how the Lord used repetition to get our attention and to teach us lessons, but all sin is habit forming. All sin is habit forming. It starts with one little act, and we say, "Well, that won't hurt me. I'm a strong enough person that I can do this one little act, and I'll just try it." And we try it, even though we know it's wrong, and that's what sin is, by the way. It's consciously disobeying God. It's consciously doing something God tells us not to do. A lot of people want to get real deep and theological and try to explain sin. Sin is just simply disobeying God. Doing something he says not to do, or not doing something he says to do. And so we try that sin, knowing that it's sin. And by the way, the Bible says sin for a season is pleasurable. I mean, it tastes good, it feels good, and we like it. And so we do it, and we like it, and we do it again, and pretty soon that sin has hold of us. We're all wrapped up in it. We're not its master anymore. It's our master. We become a servant and a slave to sin, and sin has a hold on us that we cannot break. Now, I want to illustrate that this morning. Hey, Cheyenne, would you come up here and help me? Okay? Now, here's what happens. Just come right up here. You want to take your coat off? Okay, we'll just lay it right down here. This is going to represent sin. Okay? Now, hold this in your hand. Okay? And here's what happens. No, I'm going to hold this. Okay? Here's what happens. One little sin. And the first time it happens, if you want to quit, just break off that piece. She can break it off. You just throw it on the floor. Okay? But here's what happens. Okay? Now put your arm down beside you. Here's what happens. She commits sin the first time. And then the second time. Okay. You see, well, the first or second time, it's easy to break, right? Okay. She can get out of it. Okay, let go of that one. Hold on to this one. All right, here's what happens. But sin gets a hold of us, and it wraps itself around us and around us and around us, and pretty soon it has a hold on it. And like I said a moment ago, it feels pretty good at the first, but the more we do it and the more we say that we control it, the more that we... Boy, I'm getting dizzy. The more it just grabs a hold of us and it wraps itself. Hey, Adam, come up here. You be the devil. Here's what the devil does. Come up here and wrap this person. Okay, you keep wrapping while I keep preaching. All right, and this is the picture. Satan gets a hold of us, and he just wraps us up in sin, and pretty soon it's got a hold of us. We're no longer its master. It becomes our master, and try as we cannot break out of it. And at this point in our life, we are the servant, the slave of sin. Now, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. So here we are, we got a person all wrapped... You doing okay? Okay, we got a person all wrapped up in sin, and Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Now, in the Bible, there's three things that are referred to as truth. Number one, Jesus is truth. That verse that we know, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so Jesus... Now, Phyllis, you can't show this to her mother. She'll never let her come back again. Keep rapping. So Jesus is truth. He is the truth. Now, second thing that's the truth is the Bible is the truth. In Psalm 119:160, the Bible says, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of his righteous judgments endureth forever. So Jesus is the truth, the Bible is the truth, and number three, the Holy Spirit is truth. In John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, here's what the Bible says, And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And so the three things that the Bible calls truth, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, that's truth. I mean, all three of those things are truth, and truth is embodied by all three of those things. And so, if a person that's wrapped up in sin, now see if you can break it. Oh, don't try too hard. Okay, Satan, keep rapping. We got to get her where she can't get out. And so, the Bible says, a person that's wrapped up in sin, that's a slave of sin. And by the way, this person represents us all. Because if we're not careful, all of us will step into sin and we'll get wrapped up in sin and we'll be a slave of sin. That's why the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, there's only one way to pay the price of that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so if somebody's going to pay for their sin, what they have to do is die and be separated from God forever. That's the wages of sin. It's not just physical death, it's spiritual death. Picture it in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out from God's presence. Picture it on the cross. What's the matter? You're messing up my illustration. pictured on the cross when Jesus took all our sins upon himself. God the Father turned his back on him, causing Jesus to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sin separates us from God. That's the penalty for sin. And if we're going to pay it, we have to be separated from God forever unless we get somebody else to pay it for us. And that's exactly what Jesus did on Calvary. He took all of my sin, all of your sin upon himself, and he paid the price for our sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, okay, that's enough. Now don't try to break out. You're trapped, okay? Okay, now hold this one. Okay, now I am stay here. So, here's what happens. Now you played Satan, we're going to let you represent Jesus, okay? There's Jesus. Here's the sinner. How does this sinner get over to Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So how does this sinner get over to Jesus? By the truth. By the truth. All three forms of the truth. Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Terry, you come up and be the Holy Spirit for me, would you? I'll represent the Bible, you be the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what the Bible says. God has dealt to every person a measure of faith. That's in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Every single person is dealt a measure of faith. The Bible also says in John 6:44, Jesus talking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And the person of the Godhead that does the drawing to Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So here's a sinner trapped by her sin, a slave to sin. Again, represents every single person in this room because we're all sinners. And now she's been dealt a measure of faith by God. So that faith comes into play when she hears a Sunday school teacher or a preacher say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. She has enough faith dealt to her by God to believe this truth. That's right. Every single person has enough faith. Say, I don't have enough faith to get saved. You're a liar. Yes, you do. God gave every single person enough faith to get saved. Enough faith to believe this truth that they're a sinner. Enough faith to believe this truth that there's a penalty for that sin. Enough faith to believe that truth that if they put their faith in Christ who died for their sin, they can be saved. That's why Jesus in the Bible could say he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because he's made a way for every single person to get saved. She has enough faith to believe this book, but she has something else. She has another part of truth, the Holy Spirit, that whispers in her ear, hey, you need to get to Jesus. Yeah, that's right, but that's right, come on. Yeah, and much bigger. And so she is wooed, not pushed, wooed, come over here and woo, wait a minute, woo. She's wooed to come to the truth. Don't watch your step there. And wooed to come to the truth. And when she comes to the truth in the embodiment of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth from this word, which she has enough faith to believe, the truth of the Holy Spirit who is true, and the truth embodied in Jesus Christ, she has enough faith to get free from her sin. Okay, Jesus, free her from her sin. Help her.
Break out. It's hard work.
Okay. All right. Now, she's free from her sin. Okay, now stay here for just a second. Okay. Okay, come back over here. And by the way, now Holy Spirit, I need you to come back over here too. By the way, if you're here today, Cheyenne made a good picture of you. You may not care to admit it, but if you're a sinner, you are bound in your sin. You cannot stop it. You cannot pay for it. The only way you can get your sin taken care of is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, you need to do it this morning. That's the only way to break the shackles of sin. So we get saved. We get saved. Our sin problem is fixed. Right? No, you're right. It's not. We're free from the penalty of sin. We no longer stand under the righteous judgment of God. But you see, sin is still with us. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. There's a cost for a Christian to sin. Well, how does a Christian avoid sin? How does a Christian say out of sin? The truth shall make you free. It's the same three things that embody the truth, that make up the truth, that keep us free from sin as a Christian. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." As a Christian, you want to know how to stay out of sin? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at him, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author, because he went to the cross and died for us. The finisher, because one day he's going to take us not only from the penalty of sin, but from the very presence of sin when he takes us to heaven. So you want to know, as a Christian, how to stay out of sin? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Sing that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face." Not very wonderful, is it? Well, bad representation. "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." You see, if she looks around at the world, or if I look around at the world, we'll see a lot of things that look attractive. We'll see a lot of things that we'd like to try. We'd see a lot of things that will bring pleasure for a season. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, He will keep us out of sin. Oh, by the way, the other part of the truth helps us as well. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So I got my eyes on Jesus. I got the Bible in my heart. And then the third part of truth comes into play, because the Bible says there in 1 John, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so if I let the Holy Spirit have control, when I start to look at the things of the world, the Holy Spirit comes and turns my eyes back toward Jesus. Okay, thank you. You see, you've heard me say this many times before. When we are, as Christians, sin, we sin by choice. You see, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, some people think that Eve sort of snuck it in on him. I don't believe that. I believe that Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he ate the fruit. Just like I believe that Satan cannot trick or force a Christian into sinning. Every time we go into sin, we go in with our eyes wide open. We know exactly what we're doing. And the things that we need to do to stay out of sin are the same things that broke the bondage that sin had on us before we got saved. Jesus, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. They are truth. And the truth will set you free. So let me ask you this morning, are you free? Every single person here was born with that desire. You are born with the desire to be free. And we exercised our freedom of choice when we sinned and became a sinner. And to get free from the slavery of sin, we need to exercise another freedom of choice that we have. And that's to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, you've never exercised that right that you have to receive Christ, then I'd invite you to do it this morning. You can be free. The sin that grips us, it doesn't have to have control over us. The truth will set us free. And I invite you this morning to come and receive Jesus and have the freedom that comes from the truth. I invite you as Christians this morning to claim that same truth from the freedom of the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, that verse there in Hebrews, it talks about, says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know what that is? That's our pet sins. That's our favorite sins. That's the ones that when the preacher preaches a sermon like this, we say, well, I'll give up every single one except that one. I'm going to keep that one. The truth will set you free. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You hide this book in your heart, and you depend on the Holy Spirit to help you. And we can stay out of sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Simple truth from your word. And I pray the simplicity of it would not rob somebody of the truth. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today would be the day they decide to receive him. Today would be the day they decide to break that bondage of sin that has them so wound up. Help them to see, Father, they'll never be able to do it on themselves. Only the truth can do it. Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I pray for Christians that are here. Father, we're all tempted because we still have that old nature. We're all tempted because Satan's still in the world. And I pray that we'd look to Jesus. We'd hide the Bible in our heart. We'd depend on that one that lives inside of us to help us. Father, bless the invitation. Holy Spirit, you speak to us, and as we listen, help us to be obedient and to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.